October 22. I love seeing all you people out here today. What?
Someone just drove 2 hours to here.
You know, I knew that because one by one you went over to the bathroom. So I figured it was a long drive and you may had to have waited in line for a while. That's a hard trip to make unstopped. Yeah. But you know, there's a blessing in a shorter, smaller congregation this morning is that there's more snacks left over for me. My wife and I brought a box of apples from our tree over there. Just help yourself. Leave me the box, but take all the apples. I got an email. Maybe some of you have received them too. It says, we've been trying to get a hold of you. You have just inherited $3 million, and all you have to do is send us your pertinent bank information, and we will deposit this in your account. Yeah. You ever get one of them? I've gotten quite a few. Trash. But anyway, that would be a reward. But we do have a reward. And that's why I brought that up. We have a great reward that is reserved in our name that we're going to have. And it doesn't cost you your bank information. We're going to finish up in 2 Timothy this morning. Yes, I'm going to finish chapter 4. Maybe. Now, Timothy wasn't just a preacher. You're going to know that. He was also a soldier. I say that because we're all soldiers. We are soldiers for Christ, and we are fighting a war. And this is one of the enemy. And we have to, and we will, you can rest assured, we will endure afflictions. So let's open up to 2 Timothy 4, and I'm going to read starting with verse 6, 7 and 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You read through that. Did you see how comfortable Paul was? In fact, cheery, even though he faces death. He not only encourages Timothy, he's encouraging each one of us to press on with diligence and courage. Now, Paul, he was an old soldier of Christ, while Timothy and maybe some of you are newly enlisted by the Lord. And so as you listen to that scripture, can't you hear Paul calling to you? He's saying, come on. He says, I found our leader and master to be kind, and our cause is good. And he says, I can look back on my war with a great deal of pleasure and satisfaction. Therefore, he says, do not be afraid of the difficulties that you will encounter. Because the crown of life is as sure to you as if it was already on your head. right here and now. I went to a funeral yesterday, and I didn't see the pleasure that I hear Paul talking about dying. He calls it his departure. It's almost as if, and it's probable, that the Holy Spirit had already showed him, Paul, you're going to suffer a very violent and bloody death. Because when he was on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus himself said, Paul, I'm going to show you everything you're going to suffer for me. And I think this was included in what he showed him. So he knew, and yet, I'm departing. It's kind of like he's just going on another trip. His fifth missionary journey, so to speak. And so I stand here, and I've said before, a Christian should never fear death. Don't be afraid of leaving this world. Because to a Christian, death is just being released from the imprisonment of this world. And then departing to enjoy the pleasures and the enjoyments of another world. See, when this tent dies, I don't cease to exist. No Christian stops existing after the body dies. We're only relocated from this world to that world. Now, isn't that something to be joyful about? It is. Now, the guy left behind to mourn over your body, not so joyful. But he should be. Your family should be joyful for you. Because being believers, they're going to follow you. You're just leading the way. And I'm ahead of most of you. And 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident. That's a good word. Confident means you're sure of yourself. And he says, well pleased, rather, Paul says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he knows this to be true, so he can stand there and say, my departure's at hand. I'm going to believe in you, Timothy. As a minister, as a Christian, Paul didn't fear death. He says, I fought the good fight. He went through a lot of difficulties in this war, but he had been instrumental in carrying on victories for Christ, his Redeemer, over the power of darkness. And so he writes this epistle to all of us to read later to say, guys, keep the faith. Don't ever betray the doctrines of the gospel. Know that the life of a Christian is a war. It's a race. And sometimes your individual war and race is compared to the one we read about in the scriptures. And sometimes it's not. It's compared to something else. But it's a good fight. It's a good war. Because the cause is good. And if the cause is good, then the victory is already secured. It's sure to happen if we just continue faithfully and courageously. What did the Lord say to Joshua after the death of Moses? Be strong and of good courage. For every piece of land your foot steps on, I've given it to you. Wow. So we must fight this good fight. We must finish our race. And we must not give up until we are made, as Romans 8 says, more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Now talk about rewards. Let's look at our reward. There is laid up for me, this is verse 8, there is, read this with me in your minds, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You all read that in your mind? If you read that, what word did you say? You said there is laid up for me, each one of you. Our future is already provided for. And Christ is not going to let one of his faithful servants go uncrowned. The crown is laid up for you. All will receive the prize. Not down here, where only the first person across the finish line wins. We all win. Heaven is the everlasting summer of saints. Or spring, whatever your favorite time of year is. And there is where the crown of righteousness that we don't fully attain here on earth is given to every single one who endures to the end. Now, sometimes it's called the crown of glory. Or, in this case, the crown of righteousness. And sometimes it's called the crown of life. But I want you to know, these crowns of God's, they're not made from earthly gold that's going to spoil and turn away and turn to dust eventually. They're crowns of the conscious, of the mind, of the character. And that's why in one word we can say, yeah, that's a crown of life. A couple of places I found where it says crowns. Proverbs 12:4. A good wife is the crown of her husband. Ooh. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my crown over there. Or in Isaiah 28:3, it talks about the crown of pride is going to be trampled under feet. Well, you don't want that crown. But in the last day, in that day, it says Israel will become a royal nation, Isaiah 62:3, and you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. So what is our hope or our joy or our rejoicing? Crown of rejoicing. Is it not you? You physically? In the presence of the Lord Christ that is coming? What a coronation that's going to be. James tells us, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved or tested, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So if we are a faithful witness for Jesus, when he returns, he's going to give us a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. It's right in Scripture. And Jesus, talking to the churches in Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful until death, and I, our Lord Jesus, will give you the crown of life. Now, maybe somebody out there is thinking, what's the big deal with crowns? If I squeak into heaven, I'm going to be happy. Well, Yeah, you will be happy. You'll be there in heaven. But you could be even happier. Now, is that possible? To be happier than happy in heaven? Well, maybe. Because we don't get the crowns here in this life to parade around in front of everybody up there in heaven, showing them off. We get the crowns to give them back to Christ. You're going to a birthday party. You don't have a present. But in a big group like that, sometimes nobody really notices that you didn't have a gift, but you know. And you feel kind of funny about it. In heaven, we all want to worship Jesus by casting our crowns at his feet. And if you don't have one, then you don't really experience all the joy that someone else does by casting that present down at his feet. He blessed us on earth. And casting what he blessed us with at his feet will heighten our joy in heaven to a level that we cannot even think about or comprehend here on earth. So who's going to be there sharing in this coronation? It says all who loved his appearing. Verse 8. Well, we know there are some that don't love his appearing. And there will dread his appearing. They never liked thoughts of God here now on earth. Why would they want to be in the presence of God? They lived in pleasure here on earth and said to God, get away from me. I don't want you. I don't believe in you. They will tremble at his appearing, because he is our righteous judge. He who sees the heart, whose judgment is according to just knowledge. He who understands all the unknown and all the unnoticed conflicts of every single soul on earth. Righteous judge. But the true Christian that walked by faith, that loves Jesus Christ appearing, he will long to see righteous judgment. He will long to see our Savior, whom we love. Because at his appearing, what's the scripture say? We shall be like him. So Paul goes on with Timothy in verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Bring with him. With you. He's useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May I not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a lot of reading to swallow there. I mean, there's times that we must be diligent and faithful. Hurry up and get there, is the meaning of that verse. And on his way to Rome, Timothy can stop at Troas and he can get a cloak for Paul, the books, and the parchments. Now, he's in a cold prison in Rome, so he probably needed the cloak to stay warm. I don't think anything more significant is in that. But the books would have been the papyrus scrolls of the Old Testament. And we're not told what the parchments are, but they were books made from skins of animals. Now, Paul wanted materials maybe to study and to write. He didn't have much time left. And so when you don't have much time left and you need this stuff, who do you call? He calls Timothy, his son in the faith, as he was called. When you desperately need something, or you need help and you need it now, who do you call? Or are you the one being called? And why should Timothy be diligent and faithful? Maybe he could finish up what he was doing and leave in a couple of days. Well, the answer is somewhat in verse 10 when he says, Demas forsook him, loving this world, and only Luke is with me. In Paul's circle, just like in our circle, there's some that aren't faithful, and he can't depend on them. And Demas was one of these. He used to be called a fellow laborer with Mark and Luke, but now he loves this present world. Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan pictures Demas in that book as the keeper of a silver mine at Hill Lucre. So maybe it was the love of money that just enticed Demas back into the worldly life, and he left Paul. And we know from reading 1 Timothy, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. For some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money. We need to have money. The church needs money to pay the light bill, supply those snacks, insurance. But to love the money more than Christ is sinful. But another reason that he needed Timothy right away in Rome is that he had another trial coming up. And Luke was the only one with him. Except the Lord. Yes, we know the Lord was with Paul. Look back through Paul's ministry quickly in your mind. When he was discouraged in Corinth, the Lord came to him and encouraged him. And after he was arrested in Jerusalem, Paul again was visited by the Lord. And how about that terrible storm on the sea? The Lord gave him strength and courage, and he took over command of the ship. And now he's in this horrible prison in Rome. And once again, he experiences strengthening of the Lord. And Christ's promise still stands today. It hasn't diminished in time, just like Jesus hasn't diminished in time. Hebrews 13, 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you, is what Jesus says. So for a Christian, a true believer in Christ, there are things that are even more dangerous than suffering and death. And that is sin, for example. And that's what Paul had in mind when he talked about verse 18. Sorry. The Lord will deliver me from every evil and preserve me. Paul's greatest fear wasn't death. He feared he might deny his Lord someday or do something that would disgrace God's name. And he was certain when he wrote this that the time for his departure had come. And he wanted to end his life race. He wanted to end it well. And so that's why he wanted the scriptures again, to continue to find something that he could share and pass on to Timothy. Now, the Bible doesn't record any of the final days of Paul's life. Tradition, if you read any of the writings of the old teachers and scholars, tradition tells us that he was found guilty in Rome and he was sentenced to death. Probably taken outside the city and beheaded. But Timothy and the other devoted believers carried on the work. John Wesley used to say, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. He always raises up another one. You and I must be faithful, so that if the Lord doesn't return soon, then future generations can still hear the gospel and have an opportunity to be saved. The Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Amen. Did you find what you were looking for? Yeah? Oh, okay.